Athena. This is not Tokyo. This is not Paris. This is not Osaka. This is not Miami. This is Ibiza. Ibiza. Ibiza.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey.
Hey.
Who are you?
I'm Philip.
Describe to me what you're wearing.
I don't know, some like espadrilles, pinstripe trousers, linen burning shirt, and a kimono, an old Japanese kimono that I found from the 1920s.
How old are you?
I'm 18.
So you're Brazilian, sort of, what mix are you?
I'm Brazilian Italian, and I'm a quarter American. My grandmother is American.
So tell me, what are you here to learn?
I'm here to like learn how people are, how people live.
And you think that happens here?
In Ibiza, yeah, definitely. I think people live in extraordinarily different ways here, and I think it's fascinating. I adore it.
This place is very strange.
It is.
You like it?
I like it, yeah.
How long have you been here?
I've been here a month.
A month?
Yeah.
What the fuck have you been doing for an entire month?
I started off, you know, partying and going to clubs. I've been doing a lot of sort of like hiking. I've been doing a lot of like just exploring sort of the nature in the north of the island. Doing a lot of kind of quite wholesome things. I've been sailing.
So why do you think people love to snort, fuck, drink, and numb themselves so much all the time?
Because they've got nothing else to do.
Is that clearly. It? Because we're not farming, we're not like...
Yeah, because, you know, once you've like... If you think about like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, once you've got your like subsistence, you've got nourishment at the bottom of the pyramid, and then you've got shelter and like support, and then you've got... And then at the top, you have self-actualization. And self-actualization without education, snorting and fucking and, you know, and swimming and dancing, and that's pretty much it. Like, one of the things that I've started to realize since I've been here is that like there's a reason why this is happening here. Why is this happening on this particular island? There's like five other islands in the Balearics. You know, this used to be a Phoenician port where the Phoenicians could add access to trading routes towards the rest of the Mediterranean. At a certain point, the Romans, once they conquered all of Galicia, as it used to be called, which was like parts of bits of France and Spain, they conquered these islands as well, but the people, the local Phoenician people, sort of maintained their sort of independence. And this happened up until there was a Roman general called Sertorius, who in and around 400 BC went rogue, and he had like five cohorts. A cohort is 480 men, which is teams of 80, all controlled by a centurion. And anyway, so he had a very large Roman army, and he separated from Rome and essentially established his own independent, very Roman state, but which was run rather than against, with the local tribes of Spain. Obviously, Rome was having none of this. They were like, you can't set up your own Roman state. They sent two legions to reconquer Spain. And they did. They reconquered Spain. All very sort of, you know, interesting, ancient intrigue. And then it remained a Roman island up until the fall of the Western Empire. Legend has it that they used to keep this island as an orgy island, and they would have female slave women shipped here, and they'd have they'd have orgies. This shit's been going on here for like forever.
Thousands of years.
Yeah, I'd want land.
I think
it's a very masculine thing as well. I think there's definitely an element of a man and his steed.
Plowing his grain.
Yeah.
Of course.
I'd love that. I'd love that idea. To like have a plot of land, a large plot of land, and develop it and have a relationship with that land.
But just to be clear,
have people come there.
You do not look like a man who knows how to use his hands in
his
fields.
Not
your
at
hands
all.
Look softer than babies' assholes.
Yeah.
Truly. I mean, you are a incredibly, visually, incredibly like refined, elegant, educated looking person who would never grow corn,
No, I wouldn't grow corn.
Could you do it if you tried?
I would. I'd enjoy it. Really enjoy it. I've spent a lot of time in certain parts of the British countryside, and I've really sort of the rural life, I think, very appeals to me quite a lot.
Do you want to make a girl come?
I feel like I'm better. I have. I have done, yes.
You're sure? How do you know?
Because she said, I've never come before.
Did you feel it?
Yeah. Really scary. Really scary.
Why was it scary?
No, because I was just like all these convulsions and I thought she was having a seizure. I was like, oh, what is going on? Am I going to have to call the ambulance? Is there some sort of like, do I have to get an inhaler? Like, what the fuck's going
on? Does she need an EpiPen?
Does she need an EpiPen?
I just don't think you're good in bed is the only problem.
Me? Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, you know,
so.
I'm 18. Like, I've got a lot
to
learn.
That's so true.
Like, it's fine.
What do they expect? I'm not fully formed.
But yeah, I don't care.
I'm in incubation. How long does it take you to come?
Quite a long time. You'd be impressed.
Oh, long time.
No, but like, a strangely long time.
How long?
Like half an hour. Like a long time. You know?
Are you fucking with me?
No, I'm 100% not fine. Why would I lie to you? I have no reason
half
to.
Half an hour is too long.
Yeah. Really?
What do you mean, really?
I thought it was too long. She got tired.
Did she
wanted a break. Yeah, well, I had coconut oil, so it was all right. What did you expect? Like,
did you read this on a fucking Pinterest board? How to, what kind of lube to use?
I don't know. Like,
sex should be for hours.
For hours. What, did you get bored?
No.
Well, you gotta like have loads of like. Do you need like tools at that point?
Tools.
You
know? Besides your dick.
Yeah, I don't
know.
You
mean like a fishing rod and a sledgehammer, like pickaxe?
No, I believe it's actually quite easy to find people to have sex with. To find people to have sex that you enjoy is a completely different matter.
So how many people have you had sex with here since you've been here?
Since I've been on the island?
Yeah.
Two? Yeah.
In 1 month?
One month. Like? I know. That's a quite bad turnout, to be honest.
What were they like?
The first slut was just a slut, man.
How
the first
slutty?
Slut, like a table whore.
How high were you?
I
were
at least 7 centimeters
were
minimum.
Expensive or cheap heels?
I think they were expensive heels. This was a high class slut, you know, not just any slut.
And what kind of sex did you have?
Sloppy.
How sloppy?
Well, not too sloppy. Like, just a little flabby outdoor bed in some villa.
Condoms?
Very romantic. What?
Condoms?
What? Well, I don't know.
So that's a no. So you fucked a sloppy cunt in a day bed in a villa in Ibiza.
Yeah.
Was she hot?
She was hot, yeah.
How was the pussy?
I didn't really look at it.
What do you mean?
That was it. I didn't like, you know, I'm not like, you know, oh, hello, what have we got here? Very nice. Ah, great.
Why not?
You know, I'm not like, I'm not sort of.
God, Brits are so bad in bed.
What?
I hope your Brazilian comes out one day. Look at the pussy. Worship the pussy. Do something with it. Don't just stick your dick in it and leave.
Well, you know, I was.
You know what?
Well, I was. Count.
I was what?
I was thinking about someone else.
Ah, who were you thinking about?
This is like worse than therapy.
Well, who are you thinking about?
Who was I thinking about? I was thinking about a girl that I'd been with. I decided on a whim to fly to Madrid to see a girl. Just like 2 days before, 3 days before. And I'd sort of been seeing her on and off, and she was like, I'm in Madrid, come to Madrid.
Who's the girl?
I literally booked a flight that day. I think I went a little bit too deep, you know?
Because
like, especially
hard.
Like little 18-year-olds, you know, we got into sort of playing house a little bit too much, you know? We kind of woke up on the opposite sides of the bed and made breakfast for each other. I don't know if I love her.
I haven't really
figured that out. Yes.
But not her.
Not her.
Who did you love?
I was at a very, very strict boarding school at the time.
I bet.
The oldest boarding school in the world.
Of course you were.
I'm not going to name for security reasons.
Oh, yeah, okay, sure.
But anyway, I was there, and you know, we're talking like no internet access, no signal because the walls are so thick.
Why?
And because
you live in a
very,
castle? Are you Harry Potter?
No, but
were
it was
you
very much like
Hogwarts?
That. It was very much like that.
Okay.
Yes. You know, that's what Hogwarts is sort of. Is based on. And like we're talking medieval buildings, all boys, very, very strict. You know, we all slept in one room.
You ever play Ookie Cookie?
What's Ookie Cookie?
Where you all come on a cookie and the last one to come has to eat it?
No, stop on that.
Well, what kind of gay, what's the gayest shit you did at boys'
school? There was a lot
school?
Of gay shit
but,
going
like, give
on.
Me the
I
most
didn't,
gay.
I wasn't, oh, but they were like, there were some guys who would like, you know, go up, there were the cloisters in the top, in one of the towers. And yeah, and people used to just, like, boys used to go fuck in the cloisters.
The
older
level.
Boys would fuck the young boys. It was
As
weird.
Always. Could they order different boys to fuck them? Was it like a power thing?
Well, yeah. That's what boarding school is. Like, if
but
you go to the real
But that's what boarding school
ones,
is.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
British boys expect that when they go to school.
No, but like, it was a very small minority. Like, it's really overblown. It's not as bad as you think. what is as bad as you think is like the discipline. Like, you know, we
did
used
they
to,
spank you?
No, but we had to go on like they banned that, but we had to like go on early morning runs. So wake up at if you misbehaved, you have to wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning.
That's
and
good.
Run around.
Look at you. You're all healthy and
do the
and
whole
cute.
Thing.
It's good.
It was an interesting place. Like I used to go on runs because I used to be a big cross country runner, and I didn't play team sports or anything like that. I just did art and theatre, and I ran.
Did you run in pink kimonos?
Yeah, I did not run in pink kimonos.
How did you make it out of boarding school with your asshole intact? Because honestly, you're a beautiful metrosexual man.
Did
you have to block? Did you have like a little butthole cover, like a chastity belt? Your dad probably sent you to boarding school with like a little lock, little locker right over your
ass. I made it out. I basically became friends with some of the macho older boys.
Oh, and they, you prisoned it. You walked in, you made friends with the hierarchy.
Yeah. Basically, I did chores for them, and they like protected me. You know,
what
that's
kind
how
of
they
chores?
Were at. Like,
I used
to, like, no, like making toast for people, like that's what you have to do. Like if you're, you know, if you're like 13 and you're at a boarding school and there's like these 18-year-old boys and they like tell you to do something, you do it. Like,
so they don't fuck your butt.
You beat up. No, they don't feed you. They just beat you up.
But they would fuck your butt if you didn't.
They don't fuck your butt. The ones who fuck your butt, like, they're like shady. They're not.
All it takes is one butt fucker to ruin the whole crew.
Anyway, we're talking about the girl.
I know. I'm sorry.
So, I was at boarding school, and I met her in France. I met her at sailing camp. I didn't speak any French at the time, and this was like a proper, like, it was run by like the National Sailing Institute. It was like run by the government, so it's like, you know, it cost like really cheap, so it was all like farmers boys and like proper French people and a bunch of Italians, and she spoke Italian and I spoke Italian, so the last three or four Italians kind of banded together, and so we would spend so much time. She was beautiful.
What
I hope she still
like?
Is beautiful. And I used to, when I started going sailing with this girl, and she was my sailing partner, her hair was blonde and flowy, and
is it like sparkly with different like shades of blonde?
Yes.
Sailing
it
in the
was
sun with
sort of
that
different, very
multicolored blonde. Yeah. Oh, France. Oh.
And sail for hours. And we would go on, we'd have to build and dismantle the boat every single time. And and like
you
we started.
You have to marry her.
Hopefully.
Go out, fuck all of the sluts.
Yeah.
All of them. Like, the, you know, the Latvian sluts, the Spanish sluts, the fucking Swedish sluts.
Yeah.
I go back to your Italian sailing partner in the French Sea.
Yeah.
It's like a movie.
Yeah.
So you're like a public school boy, weird Brazilian, English, rural loving gentry. You're like classic gentry.
I'm.
Are you? And you want to be landed gentry? You're a gentry without land. That's so sad.
No, I don't
know. You know what?
Land.
We could buy you a
we
castle.
Lost all our land.
There is a. What do you mean you lost all your land?
Well, my family lost all their land in World War II, I think, or something.
Are you? Yeah. Wait, what do you mean?
Well, we did have land in Italy, but I think we lost all of it in
you
World
think?
War after. Yeah, I
you
think when the
weird,
when the fascists
like,
came, you know, there was fascism in Italy.
I've heard of it. Yeah, yeah,
of, like,
yeah.
So they did
are
that,
you, like,
and they
the
took
son
all the
of
land.
Some crazy Nazi like,
no,
bad
no.
guy.
I did used to keep a one Deutschmark Nazi coin in my wallet.
Just remember your father. Wait, sorry. So your family had money, has money, but had more money.
Yeah, well, they had land and no. They had money.
These are your grandparents.
These are my grandparents.
On your father's side.
On my father's side. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So how'd they get the money back?
They didn't. My father went to America and became a self-made man. And they had classic Italian-American businesses, you know, like a little restaurant, and some shifty.
You're from the mafia?
Yeah, my cousins do some shady shit. Not anymore. Not anymore. It's like not a thing.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
No, but I'm not interested. You know, it's a weird bit of family history.
It seems like it. You mean that your family kills people and hoards money? It's like being a gangster is hereditary somehow in your lineage.
Maybe. I quite like that. That'd be quite funny.
Your family had money, did not have money, got money again. The fascists took it. Your father moves to America, meets your mother where?
In Milan, like an art gallery.
That's so fancy.
They were like, my mother was like a sort of boho kind of woman in Milan. She was like
smoking a skinny, what do the Germans call it? A bitch stick.
A
oh
cigarette.
My God, I love
and
your
then,
family.
Yeah, my mother used to have a house that was entirely Oriental. This is where I got my sort of start, my kimono kind of vibes from.
I see that.
She used to only have Oriental art and Oriental furniture.
I like
really
it.
Really cool. You know, very William S. Burroughs. It was all right. I don't really remember much of it.
They thought that you were enough. You are enough. They made one and done.
They made one and they were done.
So what are you going to do with all of this stuff? You've got an entire history on your shoulders.
And I don't have any siblings, so there's no sort of second shot.
So it's like, you want to do something big.
No, I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Well,
you
I do. I do, sort of.
You think your father moved to America after all the fascists took all of his land to have this one son to do this? To fuck whores, to be somewhere in kimono?
No pressure, No. I do have ambitions. I'm interested.
To do what?
I'm quite big. Well, maybe at some point further down the line. So I'm going to go study cognitive science, which is my first sort of step, because I'm very interested in the mind, and I've always been. My father did a degree in philosophy, and I've sort of taken that on. I'm very interested in philosophy, but I'm also very interested in neuroscience and sort of the applications and the crossover between those two things.
So, what the fuck do we do now? Oh my God, you have so much more everything to do.
I know, it's weird. You know what it is? Everything is ending and nothing's really started yet.
Shit.
Because like, in a way, like I finished school. I don't have school anymore. I don't have, all of my friends live in London. They're all going to university. Like none of them are leaving. All of the people I know are gonna like move away. I'm gonna move away. It's just all, like what am I doing? Everything is ending, but nothing started yet. It drives me a bit insane.
I remember being 18. That's so exciting.
I'm not ashamed to say that.
Scared of what?
Well, you know, it's a sort of kind of exciting kind of scared.
You have an inquisitive mind. Nothing can stop you. It's true.
Yeah.
It's the only thing you need. You don't need anyone else. Because the only thing that I've actually really learned in these years of my life is that there is no foundation. There is no stability. There is no shore. There is no secure. There is no anything.
No.
There's only you alone. You become alone, you die alone, your mother, your friends, your whatever, your accomplishments, your money, your glasses, your kimonos, your grandfather's glasses, your poems. Meaningless.
Meaningless.
All it is that you get to sit here totally, completely satiated with yourself.
Mm.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Fuck them all.
I'd have something you'd like to hear, actually. I wrote a little thing. I think you'd like it.
I would like to hear it.
It's about a little spot in Tuscany, which I sort of grew up in, and I kind of matured, and it was in front of a reserve, a lake, in which migrating birds from Africa would stop and drink water every summer on the way on migrating north. So you'd have the most incredible birds there, and I had a swing in front of the lake.
You are so obnoxious.
The wind brought with it the pirouetting smell of olives and wildflower, forcing those wooden boards to shatter the ethereal hum of the reserve. It moved as a pendulum, unchanging, at one with the harmony of nature that stood before it. The wild barley, the lake and its reeds, even the decrepit tower on the far side. One summer, that swing just appeared. No one knew who put it there across the lake, but it didn't matter. It was just outside my house, fastened on the wrinkled olive tree, waiting for me. I was 9 years old, and it arrived just in time to see the birds make their annual pit stop. I took out my grandfather's leathery binoculars. They smelled like him, wise and gray. The reeds were too high, so I stood on that swing and I peered out. Spread amongst that calm pool was a dizzying array of doves, grebes, herons, flamingos, and geese, all in continuous movement as an orchestra ready for performance. At nightfall, while I lay in bed, they disappeared as swiftly as they arrived. It was to be my last summer there. Her hand was soft, ash blonde hair the same shade as the fading marshlands below. Her gait as the spiraling seeds floating in the breeze, poised and ceremonious. We sat on that swing looking ahead, my face glowing pink, trying to keep calm as my stomach filled with the buzzing insects of the reserve. I turned to her, suppressing a glowing grin. I closed my eyes. She leaned in. The swing still stands there, yet it belongs to someone else. I came back and saw two sisters laughing and pushing each other by that olive tree, just as I did. The lake was still. They were all there, the reeds, doves, grebes. Even the flamingos would return by August. Only I had left, but it didn't matter. My time there was done.
Hi everyone, Zoe here, coming off of a month and a half long European vacation and or emotional adventure into the depths of my soul, whatever you want to call it. I apologize for the extended absence. I needed to check back in with myself and the sun and the sea. I will be finishing up all the Cuba episodes that I wanted to bring out. I will be doing a 4th of July episode that is much delayed. I also had a birthday this month, and I must say that as I continue to age, life just gets better. And know deeply that this will be the year that I may be able to find the money and the resources and the support to really start doing the work I've always wanted to do, and to shed light on the kind of stories I think need some more spotlight, and to help those that I think really need it. And with your help, I'm hoping that we can fight some of the darkness and evil that has permeated our culture and give people a reason to smile and laugh throughout the day. I will be going to Iceland tomorrow and then home, and then I will sit and edit and plot and scheme and find ways to get us right back on a regular scheduled programming. Not like we ever were, but I'm hoping that this new year is going to be the first time I'm able to commit to something. Sending you all my love, guys.